your peace won't let me go astray. I can say I don't know where I'd be without you leading me. I'm your child, Lord. I humble myself to you. For without you, I don't know what to do. Now I know when troubles come my way, it is your strength. Myself to you, for without you, I don't know what to do. Now I know when troubles come my way, it is your strength that keeps me come what may. Every day.
than I ever were.
I'm winging my way.
I'm winging back.
My way back home.
I'm climbing each day.
Every day. Since Jesus is mine.
Truly mine.
I travel the road.
Narrow road. To glory divine.
To glory divine.
The way is called straight.
The way is called straight.
Since the last time I saw you, God has moved another mountain out of my way. Led me to green pastures, turned my midnight into day. Placed my feet upon a rock to stay. Oh, since the last time I saw you, God has calmed another raging storm in my life. Led me into safety, turned my darkness into light. Now I stand in the power of his might. You would have thought that God already has done enough for me when he took my place at Calvary, but he's done
since the last time.
declares the glory of the risen Lord. Who can compare with the beauty of the Lord? Forever he will be, forever he will be, the Lamb upon the throne,
the Lamb upon the throne.
I gladly bow the knee,
I gladly bow the knee,
and worship him alone.
The glory of the risen Lord,
who once was slain to reconcile man to God.
Forever he will be,
forever he will be,
the Lamb upon the throne,
the Lamb upon the throne.
I gladly bow the knee,
I gladly bow the knee,
worship him alone. Forever he will be,
forever he will be,
the Lamb upon the throne,
the Lamb upon the throne.
I gladly bow the knee,
I gladly bow the knee,
and worship him alone.
Jesus said, "Here I stand. Won't you please let me in?" And you said, "I will tomorrow." Jesus said, "I am here.
who supplies all your needs. And you said, I know, but tomorrow, I'll give my life tomorrow. I thought about today, but it's so much easier to say tomorrow. Who promised you tomorrow? Better choose the Lord today, for tomorrow very well might be too late. Jesus said, here I stand, won't you please take my hand? And you said, I will tomorrow. Jesus said, I am he who supplies all your needs. And you said, I know, but tomorrow, I'll give my life tomorrow. I thought about today, but it's so much easier to say tomorrow. Who promised you tomorrow? Better choose the Lord today, for tomorrow very well might be too late. And who said that tomorrow would ever come for you? Still you laugh and play and continue on to say tomorrow. Forget about tomorrow. Won't you give your life today? Oh, please, don't just turn and walk away. Tomorrow is not promised. Don't let this moment slip.
I'm not Samuel, I'm Simon. I really don't know what he wants. To be honest, I didn't sign up. And that's honesty. I guess they were expecting me to have something. I don't really have anything. Yeah, and that's proven right now. Yeah. Okay, is Brother Chuck here anywhere? No. All right.
Sing.
That doesn't happen. Not too often. I guess I'll just do something that I did a couple years back. I had it memorized, so I guess I'll just say it. It's a little poem that I had. It's called Wise Up. If I gotta wise up, then I'll look towards that direction, past the first, past the second, straight to the third heaven. Facts like gravity are the only thing keeping me grounded in the wisdom of man. So I'm wise in the ways of the fool, trying to understand the truth through one tool, my stepping stool, bringing me a little bit closer to God. But I know I can't reach him. My instructions are to let him reach you. But men always disregard direction and start trying to figure things out through their own manipulation. Talk truth to tricks, fools, and I'm a wise guy. But men won't listen to wisdom, taking as an insult down in our intelligence. But what we know is all irrelevant if we don't know the Old and New Testaments. Their words were wisely written. Some men have been smitten for even uttering what they were revealing. Man tries to gain wisdom. Now, isn't that dumb? Why don't we just look towards the wise one? Been exposed to so many fluorescent lies that the light of the sun gleams like high beam. But the American dream makes you and me and all of us scream for ice and cream and things with sheen that seem to shine when our fluorescent lies seem to brighten. But it doesn't matter how much cash you have. But it doesn't matter how many Hot Wheels or dollar bills you have, you can't escape this world's Bastilles. And it doesn't matter how much cash you have, you can't escape this world's Alcatraz, trying to escape the rock when you should be consulting him. Think you're smarter than that, so you're insulting him. Just wait, one day you'll be bowing, exalting him. Now, wouldn't it be wise to start now, instead of waiting, debating, saying on my deathbed I'll be praying? So for all you wise philosophers that scoff at us, I got a little questionnaire. If God was to come here and now, where would you be? Caught up in the rapture or sitting blinking the moment after?
Falling in love with Jesus. Falling in love with Jesus. Falling in love with Jesus is the best thing I've ever done. In his arms, I feel protected. In his arms, I never felt disconnected. In his arms, I feel protected. It's the best thing he's done for me. When I feel his touch towards me, when I feel his touch towards me, when I feel his touch towards me, I know that he's always there. I know too much about him. I know too much about him. I know too much about him. And there's no way I'll doubt him. If you haven't come to know him, if you haven't come to know him, if you haven't come to know him, he's waiting for you tonight.
Ich glaube kann, sein Leben sehen, ein Weg zu mir war, wo welch ein Tag, wenn wir uns gegenüberstehen und du merkst, dass dein Leben sehen, ein Weg zu mir war.
I'm not going to sing. No, but seriously, I think I could echo what Chuck and John have said this evening that it was really a pleasure and a delight to be with you and to work through the Bible studies. It was wonderful to realize and to notice the spiritual maturity that we've been seeing year after year in the way you conduct yourself in the Bible study, in the comments that you made, in the questions that you asked, in the way you conducted yourselves, your participation, the expression that was given when you prayed, your devotion in the morning. It is a delight to us. It was nice to go to the gym and see you doing exercising and playing, even to go to the pool. I was thrown into the water. And to see you tonight expressing what the Lord had given you in these wonderful songs that you have sung. But young peoples, this is the last night of Grove City 2008. And I want to raise a challenge with you. I will read two verses from the Gospel of John. One in the first chapter and one in the last chapter. The Gospel of John, chapter 1 and verse 38. But Jesus, having turned and seeing them following, said to them, "What seek ye?" And they said to him, "Rabbi," which being interpreted, signify, "Teacher, where abideth thou?" He said to them, "Come and see." And they went therefore and saw where he abode, and they abode with him that day. And then in John 21, the last chapter of the Gospel of John, chapter 21 and verse 22, Jesus said to him, "If I will that he abide until I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me." Two young men, two disciples, have heard a testimony concerning the greatness of the Lord Jesus. Behold the Lamb of God, the greatness of his person. They heard the testimony concerning the Lord Jesus and the greatness of his work. Behold the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. And their hearts were so attracted to him, and they followed him, and they asked that question, "Where abideth thou? Where do you live? Where do you live, Lord Jesus?" And this week, we had six sessions where we were abiding, sitting at the feet of the Lord Jesus. And before us was the great plan of God concerning his Son. The great plan of God to make Christ the head of everything. We spoke about the purpose of God. We spoke about the Lord Jesus who created all things. It was created in him. It was created by him. It was created for him. He brought it all into being, and he pronounced that it was very good. We have talked about how sin came in, and more, the creation of God, and poisoned mankind, and death came in. But we have seen also that God's purpose would not change. God did not have a plan B. From the beginning, he was going on to accomplish his purpose. We have seen the eternal Son of God come into this world, take upon himself a form of a servant, and go to finish the work on the cross, to accomplish the will of God and to bring salvation. We have seen him risen from among the dead, ascended and glorified. We were abiding where the Lord Jesus was. They asked, "Where abidest thou?" He was in the bosom of the Father. And I wonder if he took them with him in that day. And they have a conversation. They have a discussion. They were listening to his voice, telling them about the purpose of God, about the plan of God. It is a wonderful thing to be a growth city. And for a whole week, somehow have being sheltered from all of the world around you, immersed in the Word of God, listening to the gospel being preached, listening to the singing going on everywhere, enjoying fellowship with the saints, abiding with the Lord Jesus. But you're going home. You don't have to be a growth city to abide with the Lord Jesus. You could do it at home. You have promised me that you're going to read your Bible and you're going to finish it from Genesis to Revelation by next Grove City. Daniel purpose in his heart, and you have purpose in your heart to do that. And I'm going to ask you, if the Lord leaves us here, if you had read through the Word of God, to abide with the Lord Jesus, to know the Lord Jesus, to know about the Lord Jesus, there is no other way but through this. But you're leaving here. And some of you will be going to work on Monday. Some of you will be going to school in a couple of weeks. And there will be no Grove City. There will be no believers around you every day. There will be no meeting in the morning, and meeting in the afternoon, and meeting in the evening. You still could abide with the Lord Jesus. But greater than that, as you are in the world, you could follow him. The last words the Lord Jesus have said that is recorded to us before he went to heaven in the Gospel of John is, "Follow thou me." So, young peoples, we have said it before. Salvation is free. Discipleship is costly. Let me say that one more time. Salvation is free. Discipleship is very costly. You are being bombarded every day with the influence of this world. And the enemy of your soul will try everything that he could do to distract you from following the Lord Jesus. They call you the I generation. And not the I that John spoke about last night, the ice cream and the IHOP. They call you I generation because you are very familiar with IT. You're very familiar with iPod. And you know how to use your iPhone. But Christians should not be an I generation. I want you to be not I generation. The Apostle Paul said that. Not I, but Christ lives in me. And this is how you're going to show it out there. The test is not here. The test is when you go outside and to follow the Lord Jesus all the way. This is the only way that you will be safe in a world that is full of wickedness and trap. It is the only way by keeping your eyes on the Lord Jesus. Very simply, by reading the Word, by fellowshipping with Christians, by attending your local assemblies, by showing your older brothers and sisters that you have decided to follow Jesus. Thrill our hearts when we hear that young people went from the conference and there was evidence of change in their lives. Thrill the heart of the Lord Jesus to see that. The local assemblies that the older brethren have maintained by the grace of God ought to be maintained by the grace of God through young men and young women who are devoted to the Lord. And just one word for those of you who have sponsored young peoples, and to those of you who are parents that brought young people into this conference. I want to read a verse in the book of Exodus, chapter 2. and verse 9. And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages." I wonder, every year after Grove City, when the young peoples are going home, who is going to look after them? Who is going to make sure that they continue to go on in that pathway? And I want to encourage us parents and sponsors, grandparents, uncles, older ones. It's a wonderful thing to hear, as it were, the word of the Lord. Take him, raise him for me, and I will give you thy wages. There is a reward. There is a reward. We have ended somehow our Bible study by this word, challenging to all of us. Having seen the greatness of the work of Christ, having seen the greatness of the purpose of God, he said, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfastly, unmovable, always abounded in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not vain in the Lord." May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord shine upon you with his face and give you peace. It was great to have you. We will continue to pray for you. Keep going on for the Lord. And know that one day, when we will stand before the judgment seat of Christ, it will be a great thing to see the transformation and to see that Christ was formed in every life, and we were here for his glory. We will close in a word of prayer.